Good morning. So, Nate, if you're wondering why I was nodding my head while you were saying that, I looked over at my wife right after you said that. I said, man, he just preached my whole message. And that's a good thing, though. It's kind of funny. Funny how God works, because me and Nate didn't talk about this at all. So, he orchestrated it. This is something, this whole message is something I try to base my whole life around. Now, before, when I was early walking with God, I didn't base my life around it, but now I do. And the title of this message is Your Light Shining? I can't answer that for you, so I'm not around you 24/7. A lot of people let their light shine when they come to church, but as soon as they leave, it shuts off. I'm going to open up reading from Matthew 5. I'm going to read verse 13 through 16. If you guys want to turn there, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it become salty again? It is good for nothing, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peak measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see it and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I'm going to read, got three opening scriptures here that all tie in my message together. So you don't have to turn here with me. I'm going to turn to 1 John 2:6 and just read it. It says, the one who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. In Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. Says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as you are loved. And give himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So based off these three scriptures, we're to walk before men as Jesus walked before men. How many people here, you walk before people every day? Your job, the grocery store, gas station, your neighbors, your kids, your family, husband, wife. You're walking before men and women all the time, and we're supposed to walk the same way, the same manner that Jesus walked. The question I got to ask is, how did Jesus walk? Hebrews 4:15 says Jesus was sinless, so he walked sinless. Doesn't mean we're not going to mess up, but we're not walking around messing up trying to get away with it. That's what it is, walking sinless. We can walk that way. We don't have to try to hide our sins or push them over. If we mess up, we take care of it. We go to God and say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. And then you get back on it. Second way that Jesus walked, he blessed them. Mark 10:16 talks about Jesus blessing people, and we're to bless people as well. He healed them. He forgave them. He prayed for them. He fed them. Now here's the one that's the, those ones are sometimes easier, but the one that's sometimes not as easy. It says that when evil was spoken against him, he did not speak evil back. When people say stuff against us, are we quick to try to justify ourselves? Are we quick to try to say something bad to them back? Or do we talk like Jesus and we're silent and we bless them and we pray for them and we're out to help them even when they are against us? Another question we have to ask ourselves is, can people see Jesus in us? Can people look at you and tell, just as they did the disciples, that you've been with Jesus? Can people look at my life and tell that I've been with Jesus. Because if you spend time with Jesus, you're going to end up looking like him. You're going to end up talking like them. There are certain words that I didn't use, but since I got married, my wife uses them, and now I'm starting to put them in my vocabulary. It's the same with Jesus. People can tell who you've been around. Do we represent Jesus at work, at home, the shopping centers, pumping our gas? Do we represent Jesus to our neighbors? Do we represent Jesus to our kids, to our husband, to our wife? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It says that for how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's how we're sent. That's why he told them in the beginning of Acts, he said, wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power, which was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's for us to be empowered to walk like Jesus to the world. People should not only taste, but they should also see as well. The Bible talks about there, where there's two or more witnesses that a thing's going to be established. I believe that the two witnesses of the gospel is tasting and seeing. Once they taste and see, it's established and they can't deny God. Brings me to point two. It says, we are the light of the world. Everywhere we go should turn in the light as soon as we walk in the room because we bring Jesus with us. I hear a lot of people and now they say, well, you know, the world's dark. The world around you may be dark, but it's not dark in you. And that if you have, it talks about putting a basket over a lamp. And that's how a lot of people walk around with basket-headed Christianity. If you put a basket over your head, your path is lit up, your feet's lit up, but you're not lighting up around you. That's why the Bible says that we're not to do that. So our light will cause others to praise God and turn to him for help. All throughout the Bible, I take the book of Acts, for example. You can follow the examples of the apostles and just take the one man they healed. It says that he went around leaping and praising God. He was sitting there begging for money and everything, and he got up and through him being healed, it caused him to praise God. They didn't have to say anything about God. He tasted and saw that God was good, and he turned to God. That's the natural response of people tasting and seeing, is their natural response is going to turn to God. You don't have to. A lot of times when I think of evangelism, in the past, from my past experiences, I had to tell people how bad they were. And after reading the book of Acts, I changed my whole mind of, that's not how evangelism is. There's a time for correction. That time for correction is when they come in the church. If they're not in the church, we're not to be sitting there hitting them upside the head with scripture after scripture bringing correction. They need to see God's love. They need to see God's goodness. That will cause them to turn to God. Not you sitting there correcting them and everything, because tell you one thing, when someone did that to me before I came to God, I just thought, man, they're judging me, they're making me feel guilty. That's how the world's going to feel it. They're going to say, man, if the church is like that, I'm not going to go in there. They're just going to judge me every second. But if they feel God's goodness, God's love through your life, through your words, through your prayers for them, that will cause them to reap that harvest, be in salvation. Says our sole purpose for the light in us is to turn people to Jesus. Acts 13:47. I'm going to turn there real quick. Acts 13:47. Says, for this, I mean, for the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth. So this is God commissioning Paul. But it shows you that, how did God commission him? He said what? So you are, I have placed you as a light. That's what God has did to us. He did that to the apostles. He told them, you're the light of the world, salt of the earth. And he told Paul specifically, you're the light to the Gentiles. And God, when we come to God, he makes us a light to our realm of influence. A light in our workplace, a light in our house, a light in our neighborhood, a light in the supermarket that we shop at. People, do people know that you're a Christian? Because they knew everywhere as Jesus went. They knew everywhere as the apostles went. They surrounded them. They came to them. They traveled from far to come to them. The purpose of our light is to bring salvation and God's goodness to others. See, I love how God does it. He blesses us, but he blesses us in mind of others. He never blesses us for a selfish reason. Our blessings are not meant just for us. So he said, I'll provide your daily bread. But then he said, I'm going to bless you as well. The blessing is for other people. Your daily bread is for you. It says the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Not good preaching, not good teaching, not good correction or anything like that. It says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God's goodness is what's going to cause people to see God for truly who he is. Says the light in us does not have to be something major. It could be easily as you getting bad service at a restaurant. Who's ever had bad service at a restaurant? Right? If you go out to eat in different cities or anywhere, you know, the service is not always the same. Sometimes it's slow. You know, you giving them a good tip for bad service makes them question what happened. Man, this isn't normal. I was rude to that person. I was slow with them, and I didn't come to their table how I should have. It makes all these things come to their mind. And I know that from listening to past experience. You know who waitresses all throughout the U.S., they said the worst day for them to get tips is Sunday from the church people. Church people tip the waitresses the least amount. And that's not coming from me. It's not coming from Google. It's coming from a guy that went around asking waitresses when their worst days are. And they said the church tips us the least. And how does that represent Jesus to them? It could be us just going to the grocery store and the lady asking us, how's your day going? Then you in return ask them back, how's your day going? And they answer, and you easily just tell them, you know, I want to tell you that God loves you and he has a great plan for your life. And then a lot of times I hear the simplest thing I hear is, you know, I don't believe in God. How do you respond to that? Easiest way to respond to that is, well, you might not believe in God, but the best news is he still believes in you even though you don't believe in him. Even though you're not thinking about him, his thoughts are filled with you. His thoughts are filled with blessing you. Just turn the whole table around to them. Most people just walk away from them after they say that. Now they're like, man, I really needed to hear that. Could be as simple as the person behind you at Tim Hortons and you pay for their coffee. They get up to the counter and the people say, "Well, your bill has already been taken care of." Something as easy as that. A lot of times we try to complicate walking as a Christian. We think we have to give them a sermon. We think we have to have Bible scriptures. We think we have to have all these things. Jesus set them down and just fed them fish and loaves of bread. Yes, he preached to them. But there's times where he didn't preach to people. And he said, just be healed. And through them being healed, caused them to glorify God. So there's times when he's going to open up for you to be able to talk to them about God. Then there's times he's just going to open up for you to show God's goodness and love to them. It's time we stop complicating the gospel and just live the gospel through our lives. Times we stop trying to complicate everything in Christianity and just take the word for what it says. He said, "You're the light of the light of the world, salt of the earth. Go." He said, "And as you go, make disciples." So as you're making disciples, teach those disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he said that he's with them. So he's with us on the inside of us, guiding us and directing us what to say, what to do. And all we have to do is do it. Walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, showing the world Jesus. You can do it and the world needs it. Which brings me to point 3. It says, God has given us the same spirit as Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. How many people know that the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, you have that Holy Spirit? And guess what's the awesome part? He said specifically, as the Father sent me, I now send you. You know, Jesus had what? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Not part of the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit. Meaning what? Now I have all of the Holy Spirit. All the fullness of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. I'm sent the same way that Jesus was sent. That encourages me because, you know, I might not know the people, but the Holy Spirit knows the people. He knows what they need to hear, what they need to see. Might be simple as, you know, Holy Spirit tells you, give that person $20, $50, $100. And you just go up to them and tell them, look, God told me to give this to you and that he loves you. Leave it at that. You don't have to say anything else after that. Let that seed resonate in them. There are certain things that the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit leads us to walk like Jesus. It's in Galatians 5:16-17. It says the Spirit empowers us to walk like Jesus. Acts 10:38, and there's more scriptures for that, but so let me stop there for a second. So not only does he lead us to walk like Jesus, but he empowers us before he leads us to walk like Jesus. I think that's awesome. He sends us out already empowered. We're not going empty-handed. The Spirit also empowers us to be a witness. Acts 1:8 told them to tarry until they're endued with power from on high, and then they'll be, what? A witness. Every single person here is called to be a witness for Jesus. Every single person here is to do the work of an evangelist. Not saying you're called to be an evangelist, but you're doing the work. You're sharing and spreading God's goodness. The Spirit empowers us to walk in good works. Ephesians 2:10. The problem for most of us is our eye is not single. That's what hinders most people, is their eye is not single. Turn with me to Matthew 6 real quick. I'm going to read this. Matthew 6, 22 through 23. I'll give you guys a second to turn there, because I want you to read it with me. And it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Here it's saying that the lamp of the body, the light of the body is the eye. That if your eye be clear, some translations say single. I like the word single better, because it actually puts it in perspective. Have you ever wondered what a single eye is? How many people ever question that? Like, what is it really talking about, have a single eye? There you go. A single eye is to have a single purpose, a single focus, a one-track mind. It's all having a single eye is. Your motives are pure and they're focused on what the agenda is. A lot of people are hindered from walking like Jesus because they have alternative motives. Their focus is on other stuff. Their focus is sometimes on their job, even when they're not on the job. We can't allow these things that we go through in life. Every one of us have jobs. We have food we have to put on the table. We have stuff we have to do at our house. We have kids we have to raise. We have husbands, wives, families. Sometimes issues come up, problems come up, challenges come up, but we can't allow those challenges of life to get our focus off what Jesus called us to do. How many people know that the three Hebrew boys, they went through the fire, right? Daniel went in the lion's den. David went against Goliath. Noah went through the flood. The Israelites went through the Red Sea. They went through 40 days in the wilderness. And I like to use that example of the 40 days in the wilderness, because you had a whole generation that died off because their eye was not single. But then you have two from that generation that their eye was focused on what God told them to do. They said, come on, guys, we can go and do it. We can conquer them. We can take the land. And the rest of them said no. He had two that came back with a good report. Their eye was single. Noah's eye was single. It was focused on what God called him to do. Jesus didn't have any alternative motives in coming to the earth. It was to fulfill the Father's will, which was to preach the gospel, heal the sick, bless others, lay down his life on the cross to pay the price for others. We have the same mission. We're just continuing Jesus' mission. We're continuing to walk out what Jesus started for us. How many people know that when it comes to preaching the gospel, he left that up to us? When it comes to praying for the sick and healing the sick, he left that up to us. God wants to do it, but he wants to do it through you. That's the main way that God's going to do it. How do I know that? Because I can read through the book of Acts. And I can see that God used every single one of these things for his purpose, to turn people to Jesus, turn people to God. He worked through them. The good news is God gave you the Holy Spirit because he wants to work through you. God gave you the Holy Spirit because he wants to use you. God gave you the Holy Spirit because he knew that you were going to come across the path of someone that was sick and needs healing. He knew that you were going to come across the path of someone that has nothing but turmoil in their life and they need hope and peace and joy. And he's given it to you already to bless you, but then so that you could bless others as well. The Bible says, freely that you received, to freely give. It says, that is the life we are to live. Like I said before, John 20:21 says, just as the Father sent me, I now send you. So let your good works be done before men for one purpose, that God may be glorified. So I got to ask this again. Can people taste and see that the Lord's good through your life? Can they see God in you through your life? When they're around you, can they feel God? Can they taste God? Can they hear God? We can all bless others. We can all encourage others. We can all love others. We can all lift a helping hand to others. There's something that we can do for someone else that can turn them to God. There's something that we can say that will uplift someone and they can see that God actually does care about their life. We can all walk like Jesus. I'm going to bring it to a close now. We're going to go to James real quick. James sums it up. James 2. Starting verse 17. James 2, 17 through 20. It says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? And you can go a few verses before that, and he talks about helping others. But there it says pretty much that if we don't have works, then the faith that we claim to have isn't an acting and living faith. If we're not letting our light shine before men, then our faith is not yet fully alive in our lives. Our faith is not fully yet purified. You go a few verses down and it talks about faith is perfected. It's brought to be complete through works. So with our actions, words, and how we live, we either gather with God or we scatter. How many people know there's no three ways with God? It's either gather or scatter. You either shine a light or you don't shine a light. It's either you make the gospel tasteful or you point people away from God through your life lived that's not lining up with the gospel. There's no in-between state. And I like the story. I'm going to close here with this story. But there's a story of a guy that, he heard the gospel. And he just wasn't ready yet to make a decision for God. Wasn't ready yet to walk fully with God. And he went home and had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a fence in a field. So the empty field with a fence there. And he said, one side of the fence was the devil's. The other side of the fence was God's. He said, I wasn't quite ready, so I just sat on the fence. And he said the devil came up to him later on in the dream and pretty much told him, he said, I got you right where I want you. I own the fence. So that lets us know that there's no in-between for God. The devil owns the fence. Why? Because the fence is you're serving two masters. You're wanting to do it your way, and you kind of want to do it God's way when it benefits you. In Acts 14:13, it says that they could see that they have been with Jesus. Is that saying true with you? Is it true in your life? That people can see that you've been with Jesus. They can see that Jesus has impacted your life. If not, ask God to make you a better witness for him. And that's my prayer every day in the morning. Hey God, I thank you that I get a chance to go to work. Think of that. You make me a better witness at work. Think of that I'm able to pray with people and see every opportunity for what it is. And that's pretty much what I do at work. I get my job done, but when God opens up, you know, I'm praying with people at work. I'm telling them that, you know, I just want to tell you that God loves you and he has a great plan for your life. Could have bought your wood at Home Depot, but you came here to buy your wood. And, you know, God brought you across my path for a reason. And do I get people to say a prayer or anything like that? No, I don't get them to say a prayer. I get them to surrender their life to God. I get to be a witness to them to where they see that God is good. They see that God is wonderful. I ran into one guy. I was making a delivery in Holland. And this big windy road and everything. And I could have been upset because the truck was sliding. And there's a lake on the side. And almost slid into the lake because the back of the truck went like that while I was driving it. Big delivery box truck. Not very practical in the snow. Could have been upset, but no, I wasn't upset. I got there and unloaded the truck with the guy, and before I left, I told him, I said, you know, I want to tell you that God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. He said, oh, yeah, I know that. I said, oh, so you're serving God. You surrendered your life to him, and he's the Lord of your life. And he's like, yeah. So we get to talking and everything. I said, you know, I just want to pray for you real quick. Is that all right with you? He said, yeah. I end up praying with him and everything, and God really led me to just talk to him and tell him, like, you know, you get such a great opportunity being a contractor that you get to go from site to site, and it's not the same thing every day. You get to go and meet people that deliver the products. You get to build with different contractors, electricians and plumbers and people like that, that you can actually pray with them. I said, what I did to you, God wants to use you to do the same thing. And what did that do? It just encouraged him that, you know, yes, he knows that God loves him, but now he knows that God wants to use him. He knows that God wants him to be a light where he's at. And he walked away all happy. He showed me, he said, man, I'm getting married soon. And he showed me a picture of his fiance and everything. And so I prayed for him for that and got in the truck, drove off. These are just little practical examples of everyday situations where we can go and do something for God. Just a kind word goes a long way. So the good news is this. I'm going to end with good news. He has already filled us with the Spirit. He's already empowered us. He's already gave us a perfect example for the task. And now it's up to us to go and be like Jesus. How many people know that he fully equipped us? If we're not trained, if we don't know how to do it, it's because we haven't really got in the Bible and said, God, I see how I'm supposed to be. I'm not that way. Help me to understand this so I can apply it to my life and walk it out. And us, through the past year, that's how I've taken the Bible. I've taken it as, God, this is the blueprint for my life. This is how you want me to walk. This is how you want me to talk. This is how you want me to be around people. Help me to see that. Help me to see you in every situation. And coming from an evangelistic viewpoint and my background and everything, I like to challenge people. So I want to challenge everyone here for the next 30 days, just allow your prayer in the morning to be, God, thank you for the opportunity that I get to walk like you. Thank you for the opportunity that I get to talk like you. Thank you for the opportunity that you're going to bring people across my path. Allow me to be a better witness every day for you. And I promise you, at the end of those 30 days, you're going to have such a joy and such a different understanding and perspective of what God wants to do and how you're supposed to walk. And you're just going to have a joy. It's kind of awesome because I can honestly say when I came up here, and no, I can't blame it on the snow. The snow didn't put it out, but I came up here totally, you know, on fire, had a great zeal and everything, and a lot of what happened through churches around here, you know, it kind of simmered down. And through the past year, God's really, you know, put a new fire, a new passion, a new understanding and perspective on what evangelism really is. So I just want to challenge you for that. Just allow that to be your prayer. And then when you go to work, you'll see through different eyes. You'll see people getting upset and you're in the natural, we can say, man, they're having a bad day. But when you see through Jesus' eyes, you say, man, they need peace, and I can give it to them. They need joy, and I can give it to them. You see someone walking with a cane, and you know that you have Jesus on the inside of you that wants to heal them. I was downtown one day and prayed with this guy. I promise this last story. I have a million stories. But so I was downtown, and I was just walking around praying with people. And this one guy, he was an African-American guy, and he was sitting around, I forget what the circle is called. My mind keeps going to a Lafayette circle, but I don't know if that's the right name for it. But it's the big one downtown by the library and the Greyhound bus station and all that. But it's a big circle. He's just sitting on the stairs and everything. I walk up to him. I say, hey, I want to tell you that God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I ended up, I say, can I pray for you? End up praying for him and everything, and you know, he surrendered his life to God, which is just the first step. Doesn't mean that he's going to heaven. Doesn't mean anything other than the seed was planted in his life and he told God, yes, I want to try it your way. That's all we're called to do. God does the rest. But then I asked him, I said, is there anything else I can pray for you about? And I saw he had a brace on his knee. I didn't know why he had a brace on his knee, but he ended up getting shot. He said he got shot with .22 and that the bullet's still in his knee and brings him a lot of pain and it's hard for him to walk and everything. So I said, you know, God's not only in the saving business, but he's in the healing business too. You mind if I pray for you? He said, no, go ahead. So I got down, I laid my hands on his knee and I said, God, I thank you for healing this man's knee. Thank you for showing yourself real to him. And then that was it. It wasn't a long prayer. Just a simple prayer, two little sentences, and I got him to activate his faith. And I said, you know, I want you to do something you couldn't do before. And he took the brace off and started running up and down the stairs, and he was kind of like at the top of the stairs like Rocky and just sitting here like this, like something he couldn't do before because God healed him. That let him know that God is real. That let him know that Jesus loves him enough to care about him being shot like 10 years ago. I want to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I think that your word is it says it's an incorruptible seed. So I think that a seed that was planted today, and that you'll give it understanding, God. You'll allow it to resonate in them. So I believe everyone here, their heart is good soil. And I think that no thorns will come up and try to grow with what was preached today. No fear, no worry, no anxiety, but just a simple thing, knowing that a simple word of love, simple act of kindness, shoveling a neighbor's driveway, talking to the lady at the gas station or the supermarket, paying for the person's coffee behind me, or even as a church, as a corporate, having a free car wash. You made me think of that this week, God. To have a free car wash. People come here to get their cars washed. We're able to pray for them, invite them to church, and they leave knowing that you're good and that you love them. Thank you for that, God. Empower everyone here to walk like you. Allow them to not put a basket over their heads. Allow them to let their light shine before the world. Allow them to let their salt be tasteful and allow the gospel to be tasteful to the world. Thank you for that, God. Make us like your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, teach us, empower us, and convict us when we get off track, and help us get back on track and get back on focus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.